which is exciting.
Bust our podcast cherries.
Well, this podcast is very casual. Even though we are K2 Radio News, we call Report to Wyoming a conversation, less of an interrogation. So let's just start with you two introducing yourselves and what you do, how what you do is related to the Mercer House, Mercer Family Resource Center's agenda.
So, yeah, my name is Nalani. I am a Mercer Family Resource Center's new family and parenting specialist. So my position there is teach the parenting classes. Brand new at it. I've only gone through one class so far. I have another class starting really soon, though, and I'm loving it, every bit of it so far.
Oh, cool. I'm excited to get into that and ask you more questions about it. And you?
I am Mandy St. John. I work for Parents as Teachers. I'm the Family and Program Support Specialist there. I do home visiting and all of the other hats that need to be worn within the organization. That's me.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been there for about 18 months, I guess.
Very cool. I was looking on the website and it says Mercer House was started in 1971 in Casper. It was then called the Drug Abuse Resources. And then it was started by a group of parents. So it's always been about family issues, but the primary focus in the early days was substance abuse prevention for young people, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was. And we still offer services for that too, so.
Do people need insurance to access the resources?
No, they do not. We have scholarship options, we do self-pay, all of the above, so.
Okay, and for to give people a better sense of what it is, how would you describe all of the things Mercer related?
We're a spot to better families. We offer counseling services, we have youth diversion services, family services. It's just a place for people to better themselves and to find out what else is part of it or what else is out there in the community to help them.
And you have so many different offerings. I was hoping we could go through some of these programs, if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. I will do my best. I'm still new, so some of the other ones I'm not as versed in, but...
Pop quiz. No, just kidding. Yeah. No, don't worry.
There.
There's... The first one was the adult drug and alcohol education for people cited or arrested for DUI or other substance-related offenses. So is this something that people have to be ordered to do or required to do, or can anybody do it?
Anybody can do any of our classes. We don't usually get people that aren't required to do it for those, but, I mean, if you think you're needing something and a little extra support, you can definitely sign up for it just as a extra support for your recovery, so.
Would these be court-ordered in most cases?
A lot, yeah.
Okay. And does it always have to be parents?
For this one, yes. We also have a juvenile one that is separate from this class, so.
What kinds of things might the class cover that aren't already, I mean, there are things that are obvious, don't drink and drive, right? But what does it really get into or touch on that might help people who are struggling with drinking to better understand those consequences?
And I apologize, I don't actually have the answer to that one right now, so.
Oh, you're fine, no, you're fine. I'm just saying, you know, statistics, somebody who's worked in news, as someone who's worked in news for even a couple of years, I learn all the time about just the consequences of drinking and driving. We see a lot of fatalities and people who've maybe been doing it for most of their lives and then just one night, one random night, kill someone or themselves. I definitely think looking into the data and really trying to digest the seriousness of it is important. I know so many people who treat it lightly, drinking and driving. And it's a big problem here in Wyoming. I think Montana's number one for DUI arrests, but Wyoming, we're up there. There's also the, do you call it the CHINS program, or do you just say the acronym CHINS?
CHINS program, yeah.
Okay, I like that. It's easy to remember. That's an acronym, listeners, for children in need of supervision. So what ages does this specifically target?
I believe it's the 13 to 17 range. It's kids that are just, they're going through some stuff. They're having some difficulties. They might have some court problems, school problems and stuff. And they're just an extra support to kind of get them back on track and get them through get them through school, get them out of whatever trouble they're in, and show them what good things that they have. I know recently we've had a couple of kids who were involved in it, and just with the supports, like, they're actually going to graduate, and it's not something that they thought they were going to be able to do without the supports that they had, so.
Mm. And the back to statistics are pretty alarming for people who don't graduate high school when it comes to rates of incarceration, which is all stems from being able to really get a job and be able to provide for yourself legally, or with a real job, not illegal activity. Yeah. So, I'm curious, can you give me a number approximately of how many kids are in this program at a given time or a range?
I mean, both of our caseworkers for that have pretty full caseloads right now, and I think they both have 16 to 20. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's pretty close to that.
Okay, that's more than I would have guessed.
Yeah,
it's one of those problems. I've talked to the Youth Crisis Center about this, too. It's kind of one of those, maybe we should say, issues that you don't always see. It's hiding in plain sight sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So how would these kids get into this program?
Some of them, it's like court-ordered DFS situations bring them in. Schools can refer them if they're going through some issues. So it's mostly like referrals to us. I believe, to my knowledge, all of the kids in the CHINS program are required to be in the program. It's not something that their parents just one day choose, I'm going to try to do this, but it's like kind of one of the last resorts to get them out, but they get through there, and yeah.
That's pretty cool. I also really liked, I was looking at the Parenting the Love and Logic Way offering. I'm seeing more classes like this even around the community available. I take my kids to the YMCA sometimes, and they have some classes there. The philosophy, being a parent is tough, and I remember being a kid and that was kind of tough too sometimes. So this is a group class, to my understanding, that addresses just kind of the daily struggle that parents have to raise responsible and respectful children. And that's something I think everybody can relate to, whether you're struggling with substance abuse or not. So what's like an example of, I guess, something that, a topic that would be brought up in this offering?
So, Love and Logic, it's actually the class I just finished. I think my favorite thing about it is teaching parents how it's so important to let your kids experience the little mistakes and how to fix the little mistakes themselves. So that way when they're older and they might make bigger mistakes, they have that confidence and kind of the problem-solving skills to be able to fix those mistakes, and hopefully not make like the unforgivable mistakes that are just much bigger and harder to fix. So
right, they could put you behind bars for 20 plus years.
Yeah, so it's a lot about parents stepping back and putting the problem back in the child's hand and letting the letting the child learn how to just solve their own problems. It's really empowering and impactful.
I'm definitely not a parenting expert, although I'm in the belly of the beast with everyone right now with my 3-year-old and an almost 7-year-old. But I do think a lot of us are experiential learners. I know I had really conservative parents who didn't let me out of the house very much, and as soon as I got the opportunity to leave the house, I was kind of a wild child because I have to learn the hard way, I guess, and I'm a slow learner. So there were a lot of things where it's like people tell you not to do something over and over and over again, and you might be afraid of the consequences at home, but you don't really understand the rationale behind it until you're experiencing the suffering that comes with some of those mistakes. Luckily for me, those consequences weren't too big. But still, I think that there's something to be said about giving kids a short leash, a little bit of a leash.
They've got to be able to experience some things. I mean, the world we're in is pretty scary right now. We don't get to do the same things that we did when we were younger, for sure. I mean, I can't, my kids are 5 and 8, and I can't just let them go play a block away anymore because I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't like that I can't do that. But yeah, a little more rein on them, but also, still letting them have that enjoyment and being the kids. It's really hard sometimes because I'm going to see my daughter doing something that I'm like, oh, I know this isn't going to turn out well. I know it's not going to turn out like she could get hurt a little bit or something. Like, it's not something dangerous, but I have to reel myself in a little bit and let her experience that so she can learn herself that that isn't something she should do next time. And I mean, she might fall and have to pick herself up, but she's going to do that. And then in the future, she'll know that she can do that if something bigger happens. So.
And she's got support.
Yes.
And so many kids.
She has the support if it's needed. So.
I think that was something, too. I've talked to my husband about the way he was raised, and he had a longer leash than I did. And he always felt like he could, if he screwed up, he always felt like he could tell his parents. That's kind of groundbreaking to me. I'm like, yeah, I want my kids to feel like it's a safe space no matter what they do, you know. But there will be consequences, but I mean, I would have taken things to the grave with my parents if I'd done anything bad, but I really didn't because I was scared of the consequences. So I don't know. That's I think why these classes are important, and I like that this is a group class for people to have dialogue because it's not simple.
It's not. And the class that I had, it was really cool because, I mean, we have the class, but it was the dialogue, the conversation between the parents and the class. I feel like a lot of them just learned so much more. One of my favorite things each week was asking, like, how did you use love and logic this last week? And, I mean, it was kind of fun because some of them are like, this is how I use it on my boss. This is how I use, like, use it other ways. And it was a lot of fun seeing that. So, I mean, these classes are, I mean, they can be used for people that are not your kids as well. So
that makes I literally just thought like, oh wow, for other coworkers.
Yep.
And being patient with people, giving people a little bit of grace when they need it. That is a good segue into one of the other offerings I was looking at. I think it might be a part of that program. It's called the Strengthening Families Program.
Yes. So the Strengthening Families Program. That class is actually, it's really cool because it involves the entire family. So it's our only class that has both kids and parents involved. We start the class together. We separate. Kids will go with one facilitator, and then the parents will be with me, and then we'll join at the end of the day. And we learn new tools on just how to do things together. I mean, we might learn things to do in the kitchen together, games to play together, activities to do together, and then we'll kind of learn problem solving and stuff like that, and we get to tie it all together so everybody's learning how to interact with the same tools.
And this is for kids 7 and up.
Yes.
What is it about that age, the age 7? Like I said, my daughter's about to be 7. There's something about that age that's a little different than all of the years preceding it.
I feel like they're able to process things and react to them a little bit better. So my kids are 5 and 8, so I'm kind of seeing it with that. I mean, my 5-year-old, she's off in her own little thing, and my 8-year-old can take direction much, mm-hmm. much better. And I just think it has to do with how they process the information and being able to follow those instructions that way.
And they're so much more aware of family dynamics too, and what's mm-hmm. going on, and where it gets to a point too where when I'm having conversations with my husband, have to be more discreet about things because she's not in la-la land or thinking about whatever else. She's always listening. And so
you can't spell things anymore when they start getting older. Like you have to watch what you're saying, definitely.
They pick up a lot of things, body language, innuendo. So when there's conflict in the home, I think the age 7 and up makes sense because they're really starting to be pretty hyper aware of what the score is at home.
It also has to do with some of the things that they're experiencing at school and stuff too. So, I mean, they're experiencing more at school, and this helps them with the problem solving there. The younger ages hopefully aren't having to deal with as much of that as the older kids. So it just kind of helps with the overall aspects that they deal with.
Oh, that's great. And then you guys talk a lot about setting limits, setting boundaries. So I want to pick your brain about this. I mean, that's got to be the hardest thing for me, I think, is setting boundaries and following through.
It is hard. And so, I mean, I'm new to this position. I'm new to these classes. I'm using them at home for the first time kind of thing. And it's fun because I get to share that with the parents that I'm teaching this to. I joke with some of my parents, like, my daughter is love and logic proof. I will try to do this with her so much. And it's painful sometimes, but sticking through with it, I'm seeing the change. So at first, it felt like it was going to be impossible and there was going to be, like, no breakthrough with her. But then she started using it against me. And I was like, oh, it's getting through to her. Like, this is great. But also not great because she's using it. But, like, this is awesome because it's teaching her how to set the boundaries, too. With one of the boundaries is, like, telling your kids what you will allow instead of saying, I'm not going to do this for you or we can't do that. Just, I only do such and such for kids that listen or something like that. And... like she told me, I only go to bed for moms that tuck me in or something like that. Oh. And I was just like, I mean, okay, like, we can do this. Like, I like this, but also, you little turkey. So it's been, yeah, learning the boundaries myself and sticking through with it. I like that I get to do it with my parents because I'm also seeing how difficult it is. And I mean, getting to show them, like, it's not just a walk in the park. It doesn't just happen overnight. But stick through with it, and it works. Like, it will come together.
Amazing. This is life-changing, because I'm like, I don't even know if I have boundaries. Really, seriously, they just crawl into my bed. They walk into the bathroom. All kinds of things. And so it's like, I do probably need to set some boundaries. Like, this is my time for those things. So... yeah, I just pulled you guys in here so I could talk about my own parenting woes.
You have one of my glasses too, so.
All right. I like, yeah, the dialogue, and then it's almost like a support group, it sounds like. Because we do that as moms. I feel like I'm always calling one of my sisters on the phone, and I'm going through this right now, and she might be able to relate, or my twin sister has kids that are a little bit younger than mine. And so it's a lot of me being like, oh, yeah, I went through that. Also, I don't have advice to survive.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. The Youth Empowerment Council, that's really exciting. So I hear from people all the time there isn't enough stuff to do. Young people are getting into trouble because they're bored. But on the other hand, I do see opportunities in our community for young people to get out there and connect in affordable ways. But one thing that comes to mind is David Street Station was just offering free rentals and ice skating. And so I wonder, how does the council organize different activities and reach kids who would really benefit from those?
So Abby and Craig they're the ones that are in charge of the Youth Empowerment Council, or YEC. They're so passionate about it. Also super excited because it's just growing. It's the biggest group of kids that they've had in such a long time. They meet weekly, so they kind of get input from the kids that they meet with weekly on things that they want to do. And then they host events randomly throughout the year, I believe. They're planning something for February, I'm not 100% sure, but they're planning something like a pizza night or something just to try to get more kids involved. They're working on getting more involved with some of the other businesses around town to get them out and do that stuff. So it's just, mostly right now, it's just all of them getting together and seeing that there is that third space for them to use and that positivity. And working through trying to recognize those places around town that are a safe area. So, I mean, some of them are seeing that this third space that they used to use aren't safe like they, or don't feel safe like they used to because of some things that have happened. And it's just building that confidence back up and getting them back out there, so.
And I read that for some families, even, and changing topics here a little bit, but spending 15 minutes of quality time together is difficult. So why is it important to carve out that time, even if it is just 15 minutes?
So that's kind of leads into the other thing. So I love that. Spending quality time together, it's so impactful for a few different reasons. It can help just build those bonding relationships within the family. It can help kids develop like conflict resolution skills. that confidence. It helps the kids feel like they're heard, they're understood, they're important, and it just builds their self-esteem a little bit. That connection piece is something that a lot of us sometimes miss. We miss out on it a lot. I mean, we're attached to our phones, computers, everything. I mean, I work in a computer all day, and I go to school on my computer at night, and like, we're attached to that so much, and we just lose a sense of connectedness, and even within our own families. So just setting aside just a small amount of time to just connect and talk and listen to what their little minds have to say, like, it shows them that we care, but it also can teach us a lot too.
Right. Mandy, in your experience, would you add anything to that?
I would. You know, with Parents as Teachers, we have an evidence-based curriculum that we use with our families, and we talk a lot about attachment, and building that parental child attachment actually helps their brains develop normally and helps them be able to learn and grow and become fully functional members of society eventually. It actually helps stimulate brain growth, which is amazing.
I could see that. We bought recently, Walmart had a big sale on all kinds of board games, so we got the game of Life, and it's tough for the three-year-old, but it's a game you can play in less than 15 minutes or about 15 minutes, and it's interesting to see what comes up while we're playing questions about life in general. They're learning a little bit about financial literacy. They've quickly figured out that typically going to college, you get more options from the deck, not necessarily more money, because I think the one we bought is, it's just kind of a crapshoot, but that's life, you know, and they get to be a little bit aggressive, but within reason, and so it's a lot of fun. And this, you're right, is a great lead-in to the event that you guys have planned. Should we talk about that a little bit?
I think we should. I'm super excited about this. This is my first event for Mercer, and it's their 9th annual family game night that they're doing, and so my first one, and it's going to be a blast. So February 21st, we have family game night. It'll be at Boys and Girls Club from 5:30 to 7:30. We provide dinner for the families that come, and we're working with Pizza Ranch, Qdoba, Olive Garden, and I'm trying to get some other restaurants on board with us. So we're working with them to get food for the families that night. The theme is super exciting. It's life-size games. So we're going to have games there for families to play, and they're all going to be life-size games. Life-size Hungry Hippo. Mostly excited for that one. It's going to be a blast, but also dangerous.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. I'm glad that you said this, because when I read that, I thought, what does life-size mean? And it means literally life-size.
Literally okay. Life-size. Like, they'll be on scooters with laundry baskets, scooping balls with somebody pushing them, and it's going to be a blast. We'll have life-size Kerplunk, so it'll be like 6-foot-tall Kerplunk game. And
Jenga?
Connect Four, Jenga.
Yes, we did have Jenga.
So,
we've got a giant Connect Four game.
Yes. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited to get to do this. And then when the families go home, we want the fun to continue. We don't want it just to be the one night, the little bit of time that they're spending there. So we send games home with the families too. We send a board game home with each family. And it's really awesome to get to do that. We're kind of running into some things. We don't have as many games this year, so we are doing a game drive right now, trying to get those game donations. So,
do you care if they're old or should they all be new?
They all need to be new, brand new, not opened, just to give the families that little, make sure there's no like allergen crossovers or anything between any homes. So,
okay. And also that sense of opening a brand new game is so exciting.
It's a good feeling. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I have a friend who has older kids, teenagers, and I'm addicted to puzzles. I love, like, for me, if it's like 1,000 pieces, pretty good. 500 is kind of perfect if it's just you and somebody else. But one of my favorite things is going over to a friend's house and we just sit there and do a puzzle, because then I don't just have to stare into their eyes. I can just sit there doing my puzzle and pretend I'm listening. No, just kidding. But we sat down and we're doing the puzzle and she's drinking a glass of wine, and pretty soon these kids emerge from their rooms and they're sitting there doing the puzzle too. And they start opening up about things. And what's nice about a puzzle is if there's lulls, it doesn't matter. You kind of get more into your little corner. And there's something about a puzzle too that it just all of a sudden brought everybody together. And then my friend was like, I think I'm going to be a puzzle person. And her daughter was coming home from college for Christmas. And I was like, that is what our family does when we get together. We like to set up a puzzle somewhere. And then you might wander off and then come back, and it's sort of like this like spot where people find themselves sitting and talking, and it's that safe space. And yeah. So I can see how board games are similar too, for all ages, and there's different kinds, right? We also have the, I don't know, it's like this magnet frog fishing game, frog pond thing to appease our little one.
I have a baby shark version of that one at my house, and it's both fantastic and terrible at the same time. So, like, can we get the not baby shark one, please?
Oh, because the song. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah. And it gets like, it's like musical chairs. It kind of gives you a little anxiety when you're like trying to get the, oh, that's great.
It's a great opportunity for everybody to put their phones away, turn off the TV, turn off the tablets, turn off the computers, and really connect with each other. Have those conversations that you don't have because you're staring at your phone all day.
Yeah. I learned so much just from my kids during our game time or coloring time or something. Just, yeah, putting everything down and not even starting it with a conversation, just starting it with the activity. They'll start opening up and you learn so much, and you'll find out, like, I mean, little things that they need from you that you didn't even recognize.
There's nothing to, like a good belly laugh, too. I feel like an unexpected when your kids make you laugh, or if you get them to laugh.
They're the best.
That's really rewarding.
Oh, it is. The laughter is the best thing. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite part of all of this.
And it's true, you can get it from a movie, but it feels better when it's like organic conversation, or, you know, I would agree. What other fundraising? How do you guys stay afloat? How are you making this happen?
So this event is mostly just for, I mean, the games are donations. Most of the food is getting donated to us from the businesses. We do have a couple of grants that we get that go towards this stuff specifically. Fundraisers, though, every year we do a Dancing with the Stars event. So that'll be October 25th. Okay. Super awesome event.
I'm glad you brought it up because I've seen it's been happening since like 2011, maybe even longer.
Quite a few. I think this year is 15th.
Okay. Well, I didn't see a 2025, and I was like, oh no, I wonder if. Yeah, so I didn't bring it up.
This will be year 15. Jenny Elliott is the like main planner for it. She's fantastic and so excited. And yeah, October. Actually, I don't know. October someday. I can't remember.
Okay. So it is usually in the fall. That's what I thought. Wow. Yeah, okay. So you've got some time, but that's a big event. People love it.
It's so amazing. The dancers we had last year, like, they got so many other people involved. We had Kelly Walsh cheerleaders and the Kelly Walsh marching band were involved with one of the groups, and it was just like unexpected and amazing. And then one of the other groups just, I mean, their kids came up and danced. Actually, a couple of the groups had their kids up on stage dancing with them, and it was just so fun seeing everybody get involved. And then it was so rewarding seeing the community want to help our organization so much, because we do rely on that as the nonprofit. We need the help of the community to be able to offer these services and do these fun things. So it was really awesome getting to witness that for the first time, too.
And so that is the biggest fundraiser of the year.
Yes.
But how else and what other ways might people be able to help if they wanted to?
I mean, we accept donations year-round. If anybody wants to do that, you can reach out to Kendra or Gina or Britlin, and we do donations at any time, sponsorships for anything. I mean, there's lots of ways people can help out. If you want to help with the fundraiser, if you want to help us come up with another way to do that, I do know we're trying to come up with another fundraiser to do. We're just trying to our one idea kind of got nixed a little bit, so we're working on another fundraiser to come up with to get the community involved and stuff. So we're trying to do more. We just working with what Casper has and everything. So
what is your website? Is it, oh no, I think, well, let me guess. I can edit this out if I'm wrong. MercerCasper.com.
Yes.
Is it org or .com? MercerCasper.com.
And then we also have Mercer Family Resources on Facebook. So please follow us there too, because we post a lot of stuff there.
Okay. Very good.